Good day, Safety Man here, Safety Man Consulting, safetyman.co. I'm doing my best in this presentation to remain apolitical and just present some facts and then get your opinions on how different governments are handling these different types of things. So we're going to talk about protesters, demonstrators, rioters, what the difference is between those terms, how they've been conflated, and then what the enforcement action of the government agencies that are tasked to handle these and maintain public order and public safety are supposed to do. So first, I want to give you some definitions, okay? The definition of protester from Webster and from the United States Criminal Code are: the most significant limit on your right to protest is the language of the First Amendment, which prohibits government interference with the right to assemble, and then it's quoted in the actual statute, peaceably, end quote. The United States Supreme Court long ago recognized the government's right to stop demonstrators that present a, and then it quotes again, clear and present danger, end quote, of violence or another, quote, imminent threat to public safety, peace, or order, end quote. And that case, decided by the United States Supreme Court, is Cantwell versus Connecticut, 310 U.S. 296, and that was from 1940. The definition of demonstrators: without this kind of immediate threat, courts have generally held that police do not have the right to clear out a political demonstration just because they fear possible disorder or because protesters are, quote, raucous, end quote, make the cops or other people mad, or underlined and highlighted, slow traffic. For example, Cox versus Louisiana, 379 U.S. 536, decided in 1965, and Jones v. Parmalee, no relation, 465 F.3D 46, Second Circuit Court, decided in 2006. Now the definition of rioters. A rioter is someone who takes part in a brawl or a violent disturbance. If you want a peaceful protest rally, don't invite rioters. Civil disorder. The term, quote, civil disorder, end quote, means any public disturbance involving acts of violence by assemblages of three or more persons, which causes an immediate danger or results in damage or injury to the property or person of any individual. So those are the definitions. And as we're all aware, those terms have all been conflated. Words have been added, modifiers, adjectives have all been added, such as peaceful protest, peaceful demonstration. And then some people are calling everything riots. Some people calling everything civil disobedience, civil disorder. I read to you the definitions from either Webster or United States Supreme Court cases. So just keep those in mind as we're talking further about these different things. So now I want to use three of the major disturbances, riots, protests, whatever you want to call them, three of them that have happened in the past 2 years. In 2020, we obviously had all kinds of assemblages of people. Some were peaceful, some blocked traffic, some stopped traffic, some assaulted people who were in traffic, some created damage, some looted, some burned down monuments, federal monuments, and buildings, and cities, and businesses, and created over $1 billion in damages, destroyed thousands of police cars, and injured hundreds of officers, and killed tens of people. Any of the definitions I've read before include any of those things as lawful. You be the judge. In one on January 6th, we had what was clearly beyond a riot. That was a criminal activity with people committing multiple crimes of forcing their way into any place, specifically a government building, and then even more specifically, the Capitol of the United States. Not only is that emotionally atrocious, it is just atrocious, period, to put the governmental officials in any kind of danger. You be the judge of how those people should be handled. So we want to compare what happened in 2020 over the period of several months with billions of dollars in damage, numerous deaths, numerous police officers injured, and numerous citizens injured and several killed. You be the judge. Then we have the Freedom Truckers, the Freedom Convoy, whatever we're calling it, in Canada, and there are threats to bring that here to the United States. What did they do? They stopped traffic. They stopped traffic. They stopped traffic. What are the dangers of these types of events, from 2020 riots to the January 6th insurrection, as some people call it, the violation of numerous federal, state, and civil laws? What are the dangers that they presented to the American public and to individuals and to law enforcement and to the government? Generally, first responders' assistance to the public was hampered. If all the law enforcement officers and first responders and firefighters and EMS and everybody else is dedicated to this incident, to these incidents, are they available if you need the police for a lost child, a potential burglary, a motor vehicle crash, a traumatic medical emergency, one of your family members has a heart attack, has COVID? Are they available for that if they're all tied up handling these events? How's that going to affect you personally? How are you going to feel if you have to wait 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes, or if you get no response? You be the judge. General first responder assistance for the public, individual commerce, your own job, your ability to go to work, your ability to get your Amazon package. It seems trivial, but it's pretty important to you, depending on what it is. What if you have medication that needs to be delivered? How are you going to feel if they can't get to your house because traffic is stopped, snarled? I quoted the word slow earlier. It's still going to affect you. Do you approve of that or not? Emergency transportation. Say the ambulance does make it to your house and they can't get to the hospital that's best designed to serve your emergency. Crozier Chester Medical Center in this area for burn victims. What if they can't get there? Stroke center. Some hospitals and medical facilities are better able to handle strokes or heart attacks or CHOP for children. What if they can't get there? Is that going to affect you? How are you going to feel at that time? You're going to be mad at the government and law enforcement for not making it safe for you. Then there's major regional and national economic disruption. You may have heard the term thrown around the news of supply chain issues. How do you think this affected that? Do you think it made it easier to get groceries to your store shelves? Do you think it made it harder? Do you think it made it easier to distribute COVID vaccinations to those who really need it, or harder? Do you think it made it easier to get your deliveries, or harder? You be the judge. Don't you think it's a powder keg for violence when you have protesters and then you have counter-protesters? I do. In law enforcement for 25 years, as soon as you have those opposing points of view converging in a confined area where law enforcement does not have the resources or the backing to go in and stop that, that's a powder keg for violence. How do you think it makes the protesters look? 51% of the population probably doesn't support them. 49% of the population may support them. I tend to think it's a bell-shaped curve where there's people on both sides, a smaller percentage, and then there's people in the middle like, I kind of understand what they're doing, but I don't think it's necessarily right. And then there's people, I have no idea what they're doing. I really don't think it's right, but I'm not really going to get involved. So we have, you know, that bell-shaped curve, 10% on this side, 10% on that side, and then 80% in the middle. So it's definitely a counter-protesters arriving in the area where there are protesters. There's a powder keg for violence between those two groups. But who is tasked to go and fix this? Law enforcement is tasked to go and fix this. And we saw what happened then. No matter what law enforcement did, a lot of the country thought that it was wrong. When we were enforcing the law with little to no tolerance and arresting people, they thought law enforcement was too harsh. And then on January 6th, there's a lot of people who say that the law enforcement response was too soft and they weren't prepared. You be the judge. The investigations will determine that, but you be the judge on that. So now my job as a safety consultant for private citizens, companies, and law enforcement, what is the plan? How do we handle these things in the future? Because as you see with these three incidents, from all the riots during the spring and summer of 2020, from January 6th at the Capitol, and now from these freedom truckers, what is the message that is being sent? Law enforcement is really not going to respond for some time until it gets to the point where the leaders, the political leaders, have to make a decision, because that chief of police can't make the decision. He or she has to listen to their elected government official, whether it be a mayor, a governor, or speaking specifically in the case of Canada, to the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. So my enforcement plan would be publicized that there will be, this is going to be controversial, I can't wait, this is going to be controversial, zero tolerance. We need to publicize that there will be zero tolerance for any and all violations. We already have the laws on the book. It is already illegal for you to block traffic on purpose. If your car breaks down in the middle of an intersection, 25 years in law enforcement, we did everything we could to help that person and minimize the financial and time impact on their livelihood. But if you're doing it on purpose, zero tolerance. How do we enforce that? It's really hard. If you get 18 tractor trailers, there's not very many things that we can do to get them out of the way. So we have to create task forces. And I hope my law enforcement partners are listening to this. Create task force. When this was happening in Canada, I hope every agency in the United States that was potentially worried, because the intel came out that the Super Bowl might be and the State of the Union address might be potential targets for these types of events. Create task force, publicize that there'll be zero tolerance. And then what is that task force going to consist of? Tow trucks, heavy tow trucks. There are specific tow trucks that are designed to tow tractor trailers. You've probably driven past them on the highway when somebody was broken down. In your jurisdiction, if you're in an area that you think may be affected by it, you need to reach out to every tow company in your organization, in your area, and find out how many of them can affect a heavy tow, a fully loaded tractor trailer. Get the representatives from those companies into a meeting and determine how many people they have, what their resources are, what their response time is, and then how they're going to effectuate those heavy tows on a moment's notice. Part of that task force also has to be law enforcement protection. We have to protect these tow truck drivers. We have to make sure that they're not going to be assaulted or perverted in their effort to clear these intersections, so we mitigate and minimize the likelihood of anyone getting injured, counter protesters clashing, law enforcement having to go in and use force, keeping you and me from being able to drive a sick relative to the hospital because the highways, the bridges, the roadways, or we're just afraid to drive through that. We have to mitigate that. So we publicize it, we get the task force, we get the tow truck drivers, we get the heavy tows, we find out their response time, we log their resources, we get emergency contact numbers that we can get them for 24 hours, and we actually practice working on how to do this. We get to a confined area, we put a tractor trailer there, and we actually see how long it will take, what has to happen, train our law enforcement officers to do minor tasks to effectuate that in a quick way. We need support from our elected law enforcement officials, whether it be a county prosecutor, an attorney general, or a district attorney, to make sure that the laws that are already on the books, they are okay with the law enforcement officers enforcing them 100% with zero tolerance. 100% with zero tolerance, and this is publicized. If you purposely block an intersection with any vehicle, specifically a tractor trailer, you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, both criminally and civilly. And we're gonna both prosecute you, the driver who left your truck there, and we're gonna prosecute the owner of the truck, your insurance company, and we're gonna impound it. Now, it costs several hundred dollars just to tow a truck and several hundred more daily to store that truck. You're all going to be on the line for that. The driver, the owner, the insurance company, the carrier, whoever has the cargo in the back, we're going to go after every one of them. We're going to make it so painful for you to do this criminal act with your truck that you're going to be less likely to do it. What we're trying to do is minimize the amount of people who are willing to stake their career, their livelihood, and their financial security from doing this. We're going to charge everybody. I want to get your opinions. I want to get your thoughts on that. I hope I was maintaining a politically neutral thought process when I give you these thoughts. I hope that I wasn't saying whether I believe in the protest or don't believe in the protest. I'm sure you can read between the lines and figure out how I feel about it. Protests should not disrupt anything. They should be on the side of the road. They should be in a nice an area that's already been allocated, and they should not disrupt anyone's safety, commerce, job, or sense of security. Safetyman.co. Let me know what you think. Stay safe and be ready.